Welcome to the America's Workforce Radio Podcast, the flagship production of the American Workers Radio and Podcast Network, where organized labor and its never-ending fight to protect the rights of the American worker come first. Now, presented by LIUNA, Laborers International Union of North America, here's your host, Ed Flash Ferens.
Machinists on strike in the Pacific Northwest. Dock workers walk off the job in Liverpool, England, and it could be the beginning of much more labor unrest. Today on the show, the Valley Report in Alabama. We'll explain all about it and talk about organizing, plus the Connecticut Employees Union Independent. Welcome to the Thursday, September 22nd edition of America's Workforce, where we are available on at least six platforms. That includes Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, iHeartRadio, Spotify, Pandora, and Stitcher. We have two guests on the show today. We're going to start things off with Jacob Morrison. Jacob is a member of the American Federation of Government Employees. That would be Local 1858. And he is also co-host of a podcast, which I had the opportunity to be on. This was back in April. It's called the Valley Labor Report. The Valley Labor Report is Alabama's only union talk radio show. It's all union members dedicated to the project of educating workers about the power they have to lift themselves up, make their lives better, and shift the balance of power on the job and in society. Isn't that what we want to do here? He is a member of AFGE Local 1858. He does the show with Adam Keller. Adam is a former high school history teacher and education organizer. He currently works with the Stagehands Union. That would be IATSE Local 900. We'll talk about his show. And they've got a number of good sponsors, including AFGE, the Painters, IBEW, two locals, 558. 136. They also have Machinist Lodge 44, Ironworkers 477. He's getting a lot of press, too. In fact, Team AFL-CIO picked up on their podcasting, and podcasting is so big, and that's why we decided to go that direction almost 2.5 years ago. But organizing in Alabama is really picking up steam. I heard this from various union leaders. In fact, Pat Gallagher, who is a rep from the Steelworkers and the North Coast Labor Federation, he's done a lot of organizing down there. And he says of all the states, Alabama is probably the most union density of all states down there. And Jacob is quoted as saying the IBEW has tripled their apprenticeship classes over the last 2 years. Their membership has grown 20%. 20%. Now, that would be a 558, which covers North Alabama. And it's already, get this, the biggest trade union in the state. Thousands of members. And then there's Ironworkers 477. And in the last 2 months, they have tripled their apprenticeship classes and they've doubled their membership in the last 2 years. Jacob is quoted as saying that other trades have seen similar growth, as well as with the pipe fitters and the millwrights. And he says it's simply because people who are responsible for those projects are understanding that's where you're going to go if you want good work. You want the skilled labor force. Also, workers understand if I want good pay and I'm in the construction industry, guess what? I got to go into a trade union apprenticeship program, and I got to stay union. That's what it's all about. So it's happening down in the state of Alabama. The other story we're going to get into is involving children as young as 12 that have been discovered working at a Hyundai-owned metal stamping plant in Alabama. And other workers at the factory estimate that as many as 50 underage people may have been employed at that facility. Also, the strike at Warrior Met, which started on April 1st of last year. It's over 500 days. And Jacob did a story for In These Times magazine talking about the lack of support from Democrats. You'd think that they'd be rallying around after all that has gone on. I mean, there's scabs. There's a decision by regional NLRB that the coal miners union owes the company $13 million because they lost a lot of money since they had to hire people that were not qualified to work in the coal mine. I think they lost like $1 billion last year because of that strike. So there's a lot to talk about with Jacob Morrison. Carl Chisholm will be joining us later in the show. And he heads the Connecticut Employees Union Independent. Website is CEUI.org. CEUI.org. He's got an interesting past. He was on various committees with the UAW. He worked for a machine shop for 15 years as a machinist. And in his current position, which he's been in 3.5 years, he is the president, and he served as vice president for 4 years. He worked for the state of Connecticut for about 24 years. Here's the deal. They've been working on a work zone speed camera pilot program and finally got it passed through the legislature. It allows the Department of Transportation to establish a pilot program to operate work zone speed control systems at up to 3 locations on state highways where construction, maintenance, or utility work is being performed. This is a huge issue, and there's been a number of campaigns. I know our presenting sponsor, Laborers International, has done this in various markets, and it's work zone safety. There's too many brothers and sisters that have lost their lives because of drivers who do not pay attention. They don't slow down. You see a worker on a highway doing his or her job. Pay attention. So apparently this pilot program, they started this at the beginning of the year, and starting in January, they are going to do some tabulation on this to assess the pilot program's actual work. Are they getting results? Are they seeing drivers that are, you know, not speeding? So that's going to be something we're going to talk about with Carl Chisholm as our second guest right here on America's Workforce. Now, a look at the world of labor. This segment brought to you by the good folks at Boyd Watterson Asset Management. BoydWatterson.com is their website. About 1,100 members of Machinist District W4, this is in Washington and Oregon, are on strike against a giant timber company, Weyerhaeuser. This comes after rejecting the company's concessionary offer for subpar wage increases, less vacation time, and they want the workers to pay more for health care. Get this. The company reported record-breaking profits last year. So the union held a rally the other day at the lumber company's headquarters. This was in Seattle. Got a quote here from a business rep, Brandon Bryant. He's also District W24 president. We wanted to come to an agreement that would reflect changes and improvements that need to happen in order to recruit and retain high-quality workers so that Weyerhaeuser can continue to make record profits. Hey, you know, it's okay. You want to make money, that's okay. But you know what? Don't get too greedy. He said these profits don't happen unless the work happens, and the work only happens if our members do it. We are taking that work away from Weyerhaeuser in order for them to see us, see our value, and see the actual people that make their profits. Amen to that. I don't know if you paid attention to lumber prices in the last, 18 months. And a lot of this had to do with the fact that during the pandemic, we had the shutdown. People were remodeling their homes, and there was new home construction because of the essential workers, the builders. Lumber prices in some areas tripled and quadrupled. Just like gas prices went up. And you know who makes the money when those prices go up. So we continue to support the workers over there. Tom Buffenbarger from the Machinist Union will be on our show next week. I'm sure he'll have a lot to add to that. In Liverpool, United Kingdom, hundreds of dock workers at the fifth largest port in the country walked off the job on Tuesday, launching a 2-week protest in demand of higher wages amid Britain's ongoing cost of living crisis. The general secretary of the union representing the dock workers insisted that the workers, quote, are on strike for one reason, which is that they've been asked to take a real pay cut when the employers made a huge profit, a yearly profit that is allegedly larger than the company's entire wage bill. How about that? The port is located in the country's third largest city and is relied upon by thousands of companies, including multinational giants, and may put some pressure on the global supply chain. Now, the dock strike in Liverpool is the first in what's slated to be a massive wave of labor agitation sweeping across the United Kingdom after a brief respite during the Queen's funeral. Well, apparently hundreds of thousands of British workers are set to walk off the job in coming weeks, including more dock workers, bus drivers, garbage collectors, airport workers, college lecturers, and rail workers. Wow. And if the rail workers go on strike, Britain will just stop, because rail is so darn important in Britain and a good chunk of Europe, let's be honest here. We got some more organizing news. Home Depot. That's right. Employees at a Home Depot location in Philadelphia have filed a representation petition with the NLRB. This happened on Monday, seeking to form Home Depot Workers United. The employees at the bargaining unit, which includes 274 merchandising, specialty, and operations associates at the store, appears to be the latest in the ongoing trend of forming so-called independent unions, which is in line with the Amazon Labor Union, Starbucks Workers United, Trader Joe's Union, Apple Retail Union, Chipotle United, and Geico United. I didn't know Geico was organizing as well. But yeah, you're seeing a lot of these independents here. And some of them are getting an assist from the AFL-CIO. So should the Home Depot Workers United prevail in the election, they haven't scheduled this with the NLRB, that location in Philadelphia will become the first to unionize. And by the way, Home Depot is the world's largest home improvement retailer. They have 2,000 stores across the country. Boy, that's one to watch, no doubt about that. All right, quick break. When we come back, we're going down to Alabama and check in with Jacob Morrison, talk about the Valley Labor Report and a whole lot more. Back in a few minutes.
This is America's Workforce.
It takes LIUNA to build North America's infrastructure. From roads and bridges to schools and skyscrapers, the men and women of LIUNA, the Laborers International Union of North America, build the projects we depend on. From constructing the Freedom Tower on the site of the former World Trade Center to untangling Washington, D.C.'s congested interstate, LIUNA members do the work that matters. Find out what it takes to be built by LIUNA at LIUNA.org. That's LIUNA.org.
You're listening to America's Workforce, and this next segment brought to you by the North Coast Labor Federation.
Buildings, bridges, skyscrapers, and more. Structures that are the face of our cities and towns were built by members of the Ironworkers Union. That's why it's important that our workforce of over 130,000 ironworkers continues to be the safest and best trained in the field. With 154 training centers, we invest over $90 million annually in safety and training. We're growing the next generation of union ironworkers. There are so many reasons to put your trust in our ironworkers and their employers. Learn more about us at ironworkers.org.
This segment of America's Workforce is brought to you by Survey and Ballot Systems. SBS has been providing unions with secure and flexible election options for over 30 years. Visit surveyandballotsystems.com to learn more.
Now, back to America's Workforce. Here's Ed Flash Ferens.
And don't forget, you can check us out on Facebook and follow us on Twitter. And that would be AWF Union Podcast, AWF Union Podcast. Let's go down to the state of Alabama right now and join Jacob Morrison. Jacob is a co-host of a radio show and podcast that I had the opportunity to be on some months ago. This was back in April. It's called the Valley Labor Report. It's Alabama's only union talk radio program. He also podcasts, but he does radio and podcasts much like America's Workforce. Doesn't have the history of America's Workforce. This show's been going on since 1993. And his well over 2 years, he's got a number of sponsors, and he's making some noise, talking about organizing. A lot of organizing going on there for all the right reasons, and we're going to talk about that and more. Jacob Morrison, how are we doing today, my union brother?
Brother, I'm doing good. I appreciate it. It's good to be on America's Workforce.
You got it. You got it. We should also point out that Jacob Morrison is a member of the American Federation of Government Employees. That would be a local 1858. And that's part of the North Alabama Area Labor Council. So, Jacob, let's talk a little bit about yourself and how this Valley Labor Report evolved. So, and the very fact that Alabama, right-to-work state, not easy to say the word union down there. But, man, you're doing it. You're breaking through. So talk to me about that part.
Yeah, we're trying to work on it. You know, we started, like you said, about 2.5 years ago. Me and a had a different co-host at that time. David Story is his name. He was the president of a local machinist union, and he and I, as you and your listeners know, there is so little just basic education. You know, if people even know what a union is, or if they're even familiar with the word at all, they're going to associate it with these bad things that that the media wants us to believe. But a lot of people don't even know that. They don't have a good or a bad opinion about unions. They just don't know anything about them. And so that was the whole thing about doing the show for us, for myself and David and now Adam, and now we've got a whole team of folks helping us all on mostly a volunteer basis, about half a dozen people coming together and make the show run, and just to try to educate people about what is a union. You know, every few months we'll take a whole show and we'll set the news aside and we'll do basic, like down to the basics, elementary, what is a union? How do you get one? What does it look like when you're bargaining a contract? Stuff like that. We just did a Unions 101 episode with some Starbucks workers, president of the Miners Wife's Auxiliary down in Alabama, Delta flight attendant that's organizing a union, the REI folks, and a grad worker. You know, all these people that are really involved in the new labor movement, in the new labor upsurge. And you know, just kind of that basic education. And then in addition to doing that, you know, we want to talk about the stories that, you know, the media, and especially conservative media, they're just not picking up on. You know, what are workers in North Alabama, in the rest of Alabama, in the South, and across the country going through? How are they fighting back? How are bosses beating them down? How can you better fight back against the boss beating you down? Stuff like that. And I think we've had a reasonable amount of success. We started on a conservative radio station, which is we have a lot of fun with that. The same station that Sean Hannity started on.
Oh boy.
Where he got his start. That's where we started as well. Now we're on two other stations. We're on a Black News and Soul station in Muscle Shoals, where we've got, you know, a lot of trade unions. A couple of them are sponsors of the program, and we're on a community radio station in New Orleans. So we have a good time with that, trying to educate folks about unions, about the basics of it, and what working folks in unions and out of unions are going through, and how they're fighting back. And then in my position as Secretary Treasurer of the Labor Council, I do work to try to advocate for people and try to get their stories covered in, you know, the quote mainstream media as well. And what caught your eye is that I was able to come on for a Labor Day segment at a local news station talking about some of the gains that we're seeing here in North Alabama across unions. That I think are really substantial, and that we're really excited about as the North Alabama Labor Council.
Well, I have said this on the show: the time for labor is now. It really is. You're seeing, you got the right people in the White House. You got a great labor secretary. Unfortunately, we're not making much headway with the PRO Act, but I'm hearing good things. I know the CWA has got a really big campaign going on that. We'll see what happens after November. But the bottom line is this pandemic kind of really woke up a lot of people, and they realized, well, if I'm going to be on the front line, if I'm a so-called essential worker, you know what? I better get better pay. I better get better benefits here. Mm-hmm. And if I get sick, you better take care of me. Come on now. And we're seeing that happen. Let's talk about Alabama, because I saw the story about the IBEW there. And also the iron workers. In fact, we had 477 on the show some months back. But I'd like to get your perspective. I mean, you're in the middle of it all. So it's happening. This got to make you feel pretty good, right?
Yes, it does. It makes me feel really good that, these folks are seeing so much success. And like you mentioned, 477 and the 470, Iron Workers 477 and the IBEW 558, they have in particular seen a lot of, they've seen a lot of growth. Of course, I think that you're probably talking about the story with IBEW 558, where they are organizing our local utilities, Huntsville Utilities. Here, they filled a city council meeting with a bunch of rank-and-file Huntsville utility workers, and they're working on getting a memorandum of understanding, because there's no statute for collective bargaining agreements for public employees in Alabama, but they can have MOUs, which are going to be pretty similar. The IBEW has been very successful with getting MOUs in other municipalities, and in the northwest of the state, around the Shoals and Florence, Alabama area, they've been very successful. They've got memorandums of understanding in Tuscumbia, Russellville, and Florence, I believe. And so they're working on getting that now in the largest city in the state of Alabama, Huntsville. So that will be very good for those members and for the union, because, we know that when we get more people in, we're going to be stronger as a union. The Iron Workers Local 477, just in the last 2 months, have signed on two new non-union contractors to their signatory agreement. And so that means that they've got all of those employees, all those people that are going to be contracted by, or that are going to be employed by these formerly non-union contractors, are going to see union wages, union benefits, union pensions, and the membership is going to increase. They have, over the past couple of years, tripled their apprenticeship classes.
Wow.
They've tripled that over the past few years. And that's just in one local. And so these two trade unions, IBEW 558 and Iron Workers Local 477, we're seeing a lot of good things there. And other trades have seen similar growth as well. The Labor Council, we're looking to see at least three more unions affiliate in the next month, which is going to mean increased coordination between existing unions and more power for new unions to come up. The stagehands in Huntsville, they're seeing a lot of growth. The Orion Amphitheater has been making, been making waves. It's this new big, big city level attraction. And the Stagehands Union, they're the folks that are putting on those shows. The VBC has been around a lot longer. They've got a contract with the VBC, the Stagehands do, and they just initiated 30 new members a couple months ago. And in RWDSU, those folks in Decatur got a 20% pay raise, which the article that I was quoted in they misquoted me a bit. They got a 20% pay raise outside of contract negotiations.
Wow.
Out in the middle of a contract, they were able to get an amendment to it with a 20% raise. That's huge. ULA in Decatur, the Machinists Union, Local Lodge 44, they got a 10% raise in the first year, increased schedule progressions, better health care, and that was in a new contract negotiation. So Birmingham Starbucks, not North Alabama, but an honorable mention, 27-1 in Birmingham, Alabama. The Birmingham Starbucks workers won a union 27-1. Scottsboro Starbucks wasn't as successful, but they tied in rural Alabama. And they could still very well win because a few of those, we have reason to believe that a couple of those ballots that were challenged are going to be yes votes. So, you know, there's a lot of good news coming out of the labor movement for working people here in North Alabama.
A ton of good news. My gosh. What? I mean, this is the time. Mm-hmm. But I'm just wondering, it seems like something else is going on down there. I mean, of all the states in the South, Alabama obviously is number one right now when it comes to organizing. So, I mean, you've been there a long time. What do you attribute that to? Is there something else brewing right now?
Well, I think that, you know, Alabama has historically had the highest union membership in the South. That's been the case for a very, very long time. I can't say exactly why that is. I really don't know. Hammer and Hoe is a very interesting book about the history of radical movements in Alabama. And we had the author of that book on our show, Robin D.G. Kelly, and he would attribute it to the fact that there's a history of militancy in the labor movement in Alabama that wasn't really there in places like Mississippi, Georgia, and Florida, and you know, even if to some extent we're not maybe as militant, and this is going to be the same everywhere, we're not as militant as we used to be. We won so much power back when we were that we're, you know, running on the things that they got. But also, you know, the like you mentioned to start us off with, the situation in the U.S. is totally, totally different than anything in my entire life. In my entire life, there's never been and you know, I'm a little bit younger, but there's just never been the public interest. The unions have never been in the conversation like they are now, and young people have never been as interested in it. You know, I'm sure that y'all talked about that new Gallup poll.
Oh, yeah.
That show that unions have a higher approval rating than hot dogs. Americans approve of labor unions more than they approve of hot dogs. Labor unions, according to that new Gallup poll, have a 71% approval rating, and hot dogs have a 70% approval rating. So I think, you know, that's...
I know the 71. I didn't know about the hot dog part. That's pretty good. That's revolutionary, no doubt about it.
No kidding. Americans love their hot dogs, and now we love our unions more. And so that's pretty incredible. And you know, unions are winning more elections than they have in 20 years. There's 40,000 new union workers in just the last year. And not only are we having more elections, we're winning more elections, but we are winning elections that we're having at a higher rate. Yeah. 80% of workers who have a union election this year won, which is, again, the highest in 20 years. You know, so the U.S. situation, I think, is just being reflected in large part in North Alabama.
All right, Jacob, I got to take a break. I'm going to grab a hot dog here in a minute, okay? Jacob Morrison on our live line, and he is a co-host of the Valley Labor Report, Alabama's only union talk radio program, and they're also podcast as well. We'll give you all the details how you can access it. We're going to talk about what's going on with kids in auto plants, well, subsidiaries of Hyundai, to be specific. Also, the Warrior Met strike. Where are the Democrats? Later in the show, we're going to Connecticut. We're going to check in with Carl Chisholm, and he heads the Connecticut Employees Union Independent. Back in a few minutes.
You're listening to America's Workforce with Ed Flash Ferens.
It takes LIUNA to power North America with affordable energy. The men and women of LIUNA, the Laborers International Union of North America, have the skills needed to build and maintain oil, natural gas, nuclear, solar, and wind projects that are shaping America's energy future. From new energy tech to retrofitted facilities, LIUNA members do it all. Find out what it takes to be powered by LIUNA at LIUNA.org. That's LIUNA.
Hi, this is Liz Schuler, president of the AFL-CIO, and I am a huge fan of Flash and America's Workforce Radio and podcast.
Hello from the Communication Workers of America, District 4. We are a labor union representing a vast array of workers in different industries, including the Association of Flight Attendants, Telecommunications, CWA Passenger Services, Public Health Care, and Education Workers, the IUE, CWA Industrial Division, the National Association of Broadcast Employees, the CWA News Guild, not to mention our growing digital sector, and many others. If you're interested in organizing your work group or learning more about what it means to be CWA strong, visit our website at www.cwad4.org. That's cwad4.org.
Now, back to Ed Flash Ferens with America's Workforce.
And remember, you can check us out on at least six platforms. That includes Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, iHeartRadio, Spotify, Pandora, and Stitcher. And when you get an opportunity, here's what you do. Just sign up, receive our shows on a regular basis, and give us a rating. We always appreciate those five-star ratings, so please keep them coming. By the way, this next segment brought to you in part by the United Labor Agency. You can find more at ulagency.org. Let's go back to Alabama and rejoin Jacob Morrison. Jacob is co-host of the Valley Labor Report. Hey, why don't you give us, you have a specific website for that. I always say Google at Valley Labor Report. What's the best way to get to that show, Jacob?
Yeah, we have a union-made website that we're very proud of, tvlr.fm, tvlr.fm, and if you want to find us on YouTube, you can go to tvlr.fm/YouTube. If you want to find us on a podcast feed, it's tvlr.fm/podcast.
All right, TVLR FM. Or like I said, just Google Valley Labor Report. All right, a couple things I want to talk to you about. I saw this story about kids as young as 12 apparently working at a Hyundai-owned metal stamping plant in your state, in the state of Alabama. And I guess there was other workers at the factory estimating that as many as 50 underage people may have been employed at the facility. I mean, when I was 12, okay, I had a paper route. That was about it. Maybe I cut a couple of lawns, but you know, working in a factory, no, that didn't happen, and it should not happen. It should not happen. So what's going on here? What do we know about this story?
Not only working in a factory, but working in an unsafe factory, more unsafe than normal. This factory, the first one that they were found to have been employing 12-year-old girls in, has been fined over the past 10 years $50,000 by OSHA for, among other things, amputation and crush hazards.
Oh, boy.
Right. So this is not even – because we know on this show and on mine – that OSHA is not going out willy-nilly, especially over the past 10 years, and doling out $50,000 fines. This is not a common occurrence. This is a uniquely unsafe working environment, and we've got, workers allege, as many as 50 people under legal age, under 16, working at this facility. So very, very... it's just insane. I've got an article coming out in Jacobin either today or tomorrow is my understanding, where I mentioned this among other things that are happening in Alabama, and the editor was like, the editor highlighted it, and there was like, there's no way this is true, fact check this. And I pointed him to the Reuters report. He didn't believe me. But it's true. Reuters reported in July, this is when this was uncovered, that they had uncovered and confirmed at minimum several children. They were able to get documentation proving several children under the age of 16, including as young as 12, working at a wholly owned, like you said, Hyundai subsidiary outside of Montgomery. And workers allege that dozens more children that were working at that facility. But that's not it. Only a month after the initial story, Reuters again broke news saying that court documents were made public showing a second Hyundai facility using what the Federal Department of Labor this time called, quote, oppressive child labor in outside of Mobile. I mean, this is clearly a practice that Hyundai subsidiaries have in Alabama. And it's just totally, and of course, you know, these are non-union plants. Hyundai is, you know, they have put a lot of their manufacturing in Alabama specifically for that reason,
right,
to run away from worker organization and worker power.
So where's the state of Alabama on this? You mentioned the OSHA fines and all that, but is the Attorney General looking into this, to your knowledge?
So here is what I think is to me the most, I mean, I there are so many disgusting parts of this story, but this is really, really galling. The Attorney General of Alabama was notified of this situation of 12-year-old girls working at a facility with $50,000 in OSHA fines. He was notified about this in February by local law enforcement because the local law enforcement does not have the authority to enforce Alabama's child labor laws. So when they found out about this, they notified the Attorney General's office. Reuters confirmed that the Attorney General's office was notified back in February. During the 5 months between the discovery of the situation by Alabama's Attorney General and July, so between February and July, Steve Marshall, Alabama's Attorney General, took no action on that to alert the public or pursue charges against the executives responsible. Nothing. Nothing. If it was not for this Reuters report, Steve Marshall would still be going around with the knowledge that there are 12-year-old children working in a Montgomery manufacturing plant with amputation hazards and not doing anything about it. And even after the Reuters report, he's not doing anything about it. So we are now July to September. We're now two or three months away from the initial report, and he has not made a single statement about it. He's not tweeted about it. He's not done anything. And when you ask his office about it, they say that, quote, it is the longstanding policy of the Alabama Attorney General's office not to comment on the possibility of criminal investigations, which we know is nonsense. We know that's nonsense because just recently he's going out there doing Fox News hits about how he is going to criminally investigate doctors at VA hospitals if they perform life-saving abortion care in Alabama.
Oh, brother. Jeez.
We know that. And so the idea that, it's the longstanding policy of the Alabama Attorney General's office not to comment on criminal investigations, on the possibility of criminal investigations, that's just a lie because he's doing it on Fox News.
Yeah.
We've got 12-year-old children working in manufacturing plants, and he can't be bothered with it.
No. Unless it's a relative, you know, or what, you know. Maybe
correct.
Maybe then.
Yeah, well, it's
maybe
not,
then he'll say something, you know.
Right. Yeah. Well, it's not the sons and daughters of fancy Montgomery politicians that are working in these plants. That's
yeah,
for sure.
Yeah. One more story here. Warrior Met. Sad situation here. Been on strike since April 1st of 2021, and it just doesn't seem to getting any kind of resolve. I know the miners union has been very proactive. They marched on Wall Street because this is a hedge fund. This is a Wall Street boys running the show over here, like they're running a lot of things in America today, sadly to say. But where are the Democrats? You did a really good piece for In These Times, and I didn't realize they were that quiet. They were quiet, but they seemed to, it's almost like they're running away from this. You get that impression, Jacob?
It really is almost like they're running away from it, and I cannot, for the life of me, understand why. And before we get to the Democrats, really quickly, I did want to also mention Alabama's Attorney General, who sent a letter to BlackRock criticizing them. And so when I saw this story, I was like, oh, maybe he's talking about Warrior Met, because what else could the Alabama Attorney General possibly want to talk to BlackRock about besides the longest strike in the history of the state? Well, it's not that. He wanted to criticize them for taking into account social responsibility in their investment decisions. That's what his letter to BlackRock was about. It was not about the strike.
Oh, boy.
But talking about the Democrats, you know, like I said, I can't for the life of me understand what the hesitation is, because from a political standpoint, you know, which I don't, it would be nice if we could do things beyond politics and just do things because they're right. But I know that's not the way that a lot of things in D.C. work. So if we're just talking about it from a political point of view, you've got a way to reach people inside your base in the labor movement. You're going to be helping unions. You're going to be able to extend an olive branch to people in quote unquote Trump country. I'm helping coal miners as the Democratic president of the United States. Wow, that's a headline. That's going to be a few headlines, right? Mm-hmm. I'm walking a picket line with Alabama coal miners. Wow, that's interesting. Also, these coal miners mine metallurgical coal, which is used in the production of steel, which is important for green energy. So, wow, these are special coal miners, right? And I'm a Democrat. So these are all reasons that it would be politically useful for Democrats to help these folks, I think. But they're not doing it. And Marty Walsh came to Birmingham to promote the infrastructure bill, which I've not got a problem with. That's fine. He was only a few minutes from the picket line back then. Mm-hmm. When he came to Birmingham, came to the RWDSU Union Hall to promote the infrastructure bill. And the miners came and talked to him. And you know, because they were told that Marty Walsh is going to be there, and so some of the mine workers came and they talked to him, but nothing has come of that. He hasn't been to a picket line. He hasn't done any sort of mediation stuff like they just tried to do for the rail workers, and I think, you know, there's some complications about how good that deal is actually for the rail workers, like they did for Kellogg's workers in the BCTGM strike. And so why aren't they doing it for these people who have been on strike now for 18 months? And yeah, one of the things that I mentioned in the article is that there was a Republican running for governor in Alabama, and like I said to you before the show, but I'll keep it a bit more kid friendly, is that he's probably full of crap, right, when he was telling me this on my radio program. But he said he made really concrete commitments to the mine workers if he won. He said that the coal mine would basically not be able to operate because they would have so many investigations going into them from the executive office of Alabama. There would be safety investigations. There would be labor law investigations. There would be environmental investigations. And all of these things are things that the federal government can do as well. The federal MSHA, federal OSHA, the federal Department of Labor, the EPA. I mentioned in the article that the scabs, who have no idea how to do the job, have increased pollution to such an extent that the Black Warrior River Keepers are suing Warrior Met Coal over the increased pollution.
Oh boy.
And so, you know, why is it not swarmed with EPA investigators? Why is it not swarmed with OSHA investigators? Because there was a scab that was seriously injured a few months back. Why is it not, you know, there are so many things that the federal government could be doing to hamper Warrior Met's operations, to help the workers, and to formally go on a picket line, to formally try to broker negotiations. And they're just totally, there's nothing. There's no statements. There's no nothing. Nothing.
Jacob, you know what I'm thinking here? After what you just said, I think the miners should hire you to be their spokesman, because you got all the fire in your belly. You could probably turn things around for them. That's amazing. What's not going on? We talk about what's going on, but this is what's not going on. It's so sad, so sad. Again, miners on strike over 500 days, and so many people are just being so quiet. Jacob Morrison, member of the American Federation of Government Employees, that would be Local 1858. He's also a co-host of the Valley Report out of Alabama, the only union talk radio program, also podcasts as well, and he's Secretary Treasurer of the North Alabama Area Labor Council of the AFL-CIO. Jacob, great job. Thank you so much for joining us today. And again, the website for the show, tvlr.fm. Stay strong, stay in touch. And hey, I'll be happy to join you on your program. We could talk. We don't have all that crazy. We got some crazy things going in the Midwest, maybe not to the extent of what's happening down there, but we'll do that down the road. Okay, brother?
Sounds good, brother. Appreciate you having me.
You got it. Carl Chisholm is with the Connecticut Employees Union Independent. He's coming up next.
This is America's Workforce. More shows available at awfradio.com.
It takes LIUNA to keep America running. Over 70,000 public employees are part of LIUNA, the Laborers International Union of North America. delivering critical services such as healthcare and emergency response, as well as maintaining roads and sanitation systems. Even the National Postal Mail Handlers Union, representing over 47,000 U.S. postal workers, is affiliated with LIUNA. Find out what it takes for LIUNA to keep America running at LIUNA.org. That's LIUNA.org.
The United Auto Workers are one of the largest and most diverse unions in North America, with members in virtually every sector of the economy. Learn more about this proud sponsor of our program at UAW.org.
There is unity and strength for workers.
We are the USW.
We are the USW.
The United Steelworkers.
The largest industrial union in North America.
We represent 850,000 members in the U.S., Canada, and the Caribbean.
We work in metals,
rubber,
chemicals,
paper,
oil refining,
atomic energy,
and the service sector.
We are steelworkers, standing strong and fighting for what's right.
America's Workforce is sponsored in part by Boyd Watterson Asset Management, LLC. Find out more about our investment solutions tailored to meet the needs of Taft-Hartley funds at BoydWatterson.com.
Now, back to America's Workforce. Here's Ed Flash Ferens.
And don't forget, you can check us out on Facebook and follow us on Twitter. Twitter handle AWF Union Podcast. All right, let's go to the state of Connecticut right now. And joining us on line number two is Carl Chisholm. Carl is president of the Connecticut Employees Union Independent, CEUI.org. And they are affiliated with the Service Employees International Union. And Carl, his present position as president for 3.5 years. Interesting background, worked in a machine shop, also served on various committees for the UAW. So you got a little diversity in your union background. Is that the case here, Carl?
Yeah, a little bit. I've basically been involved with unions all my adult life, so got a little flavor, a little bit of everything.
Gotcha. What are you over the entire state of Connecticut, your union, and how many members? Can we get into some specifics on that?
Sure. So our union specifically, we have approximately between 38 and 4,000 members statewide of our unions. Of course, there's other unions, you know, probably about 14 to 15 others, but we generally take care of about 38 to 4,000 members statewide. They're Department of Transportation members, the highway workers, maintenance and trades throughout the state and every state agency and schools and stuff. So we have them spread pretty wide across the state.
Yeah, yeah, and it's been going pretty good for you. I mean, Connecticut's pretty union friendly. Am I correct in assuming that?
Yes, we just finished up our all the state unions just finished up our contracts last couple of months, I would say. You know, we've been negotiating, so all of us, we kind of did it on a coalition basis and got them all taken care of within the last couple of months. So, yes, it's relatively good here.
Good. Work zone safety. I'll tell you, this is a huge issue. And one of the locals in northeastern Ohio where we record the show, that would be 860. They're part of Laborers International. They've done an incredibly good campaign over the years with billboards and public service announcements telling people you got to slow down. Come on. Yeah. There's lives at stake here. I know everybody's in a rush to get from point A to point B. And they're working multiple jobs. They're under a lot of stress. I understand that. Yeah. But you know what? You got to slow down. So you've got something rather interesting here. This is a camera, I guess, work zone speed camera pilot program. That's a mouthful. Explain what's going on to me, Carl.
So we've been basically working on this for, I would say, 3 or 4 years now, and we finally were successful getting it through legislation. We are still in the process of Department of Transportation and Public Safety are trying to get it out. It's under the Department of Transportation, trying to get it out to get an RFP and getting it moving. And what it does basically is, as you just said, we have a lot of members that are out there working every day on the highways and stuff. And what we want to do is protect them. So what will happen is that they would be three cameras around the state, because this would be just a pilot, and it would monitor, let's just say hypothetically I come through a work zone and the speed limit is 65, I go 10 miles over the limit, what happens is the camera would take a picture and it would either send me a warning or a ticket. And, you know, over the course of the pilot program, which is we have it out now for about 2 years, go back to legislation and they would do analysis and see if it's something that we can put in place permanently. Now, it's not just the cameras that would be in place, just like you said earlier about other states. It would be billboards, all types of public announcements and stuff that this is in place. And, you know, I don't want it to be like a gotcha type of thing. We want to be able to protect the public and our workers as well, mm-hmm. you know. And in some other states, as you mentioned, it seemed to be working very well, you know. And what I'd like to see is that the money go right back into the program. So if the program goes broke, that means you're doing your job.
Yeah.
You know, everybody's getting the message. And basically, that's all we want to see for our members. Our members come into work. That's their offices outside working throughout the day. We want to be able to see that they come home safely to their families. Also with the public, we like to see them come home safely. So that's all this is. You know, I don't want it to seem like it's, you know, all the cameras out there watching you and we got you and stuff. No, nope, it's just to protect our members and the traveling public.
Carl, let's be honest. There's cameras everywhere today.
I mean, yes, unfortunately, but
you know, yeah, I mean,
it is.
That's the case. And you know, I know people feel like they're being spied upon, but they do serve a purpose. And I could recall a story where there was a carjacking and they got the people not long because they were able. These cameras are so incredible. They see the license plates. They see what's going on, and they're high tech. Everything, it's Big Brother. I remember reading about Big Brother in high school, but basically that's the world that we live in today.
Oh yes, it is, without a doubt.
Let me ask you this: was there something? Did you have a horrific accident there that kind of pushed this into this direction? I'm wondering. I mean, what are the run? You know, what's a rundown on like fatalities in work zones? Is it?
Well, we've had, and this is going back, I'm going to say, approximately 10 years. We did have one of our members. We had two members. One I know of that about 10 years ago that actually got killed in an accident. And prior to that, I'm going to say, 2 or 3 years prior to that, we had another one, but. Between that and our members constantly getting injured on the jobs, we have work zones that are set up, and folks are coming through there, and, you know, it's all about tech right now, and we have to be on our phones, and just running into the trucks and the attenuators that are in back of the trucks that protects the members inside the trucks, those folks still get hurt, back injuries and things like that, and, you know, you have folks out like that. You know, they're home and trying to get well, that brings down the numbers that they need on the highway. But more importantly, our members are constantly getting injured and getting hurt in the vehicles. Because our members do a great job of setting up sign patterns and having the trucks positioned in a way, such a way that, you know, it's supposed to slow everybody down. That doesn't happen majority of the time. People come through, they're in a rush, they see the yellow lights, they don't slow down. And before you know it, they've run into back of a truck, and the traveling public gets hurt, and our members get injured.
Yep.
So this would be a way to hopefully, like I said, with billboards and stuff like that, to try to slow the traveling public down and let them know that, you know, these folks are out here working just like you want to get to work and work in your office.
Yeah. No, I hear you. I'm with you 100%. Carl, you know what? We're just about out of time. There's other issues going on over there. We'll set up another time to talk to you because I know you're doing a lot of organizing there, and I know there's a little fight going on with the University of Connecticut. So you stay safe and stay strong and stay in touch, okay, brother?
Okay, we appreciate it.
You got it. Carl Chisholm, president of the Connecticut Employees Union Independent. You can find more at CEUI.org. That's it for another edition of America's Workforce. Tomorrow, UA Local 157 and the United Steelworkers. Until then, all of you have a safe and wonderful day.
That concludes another episode of the America's Workforce Radio Podcast. Thanks for listening, and be sure to subscribe so you never miss a show. America's Workforce is a production of Labor Tools and BMA Media Group. Find out more information online at labortools.com.